Good to be here this morning. Go with the book of Matthew this morning. Book of Matthew, chapter number 19. Book of Matthew, chapter number 19. We're going to try to move right along. I was told I needed to preach fast, that Matthew Suits had eaten four bowls of chicken stew, and he was sleepy. Amen. So I had to preach fast and loud. He said five. Football. We're teasing. But you pray for us this morning. We're going to try to mind the Lord. And thank you for being here. Remember, no service tonight, no nativity. There's been much damage around on the outside and with the snow still laying. I'm going to say this. I am just astonished that we got snow. Amen. This early in the year. And I'm astonished. I was picking at Robert. I said, Robert, I'm so glad to see you. Brother Paul, that Ford went in what snow was left. So he made it to church. Amen. And we're picking at Robert. But it is good to be here. Matthew chapter number 19. If you found your place and you're physically able, I would ask you to stand for the reading and reverence of the Word of God. Matthew chapter number 19. Look with us in verse number 13. The Bible says, then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And as he laid his hands on them and departed thence, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Be seated. I would like to say this to you this morning. I thank God for the soul that was saved this past Sunday. And I thank God for the services that we've been having. And I realize we're short in number this morning. But I believe this would help us as we see that Jesus is gathered here in the midst of the public. And we see that Jesus begins to speak to the children. And Jesus kind of invites the children over. And as the children come, the disciples say, whoa, 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 you've got to back up. And we've not got place for children. I'll say this to you this morning. Children are important to the work of God. And children are important to the house of God. And children play an important part. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me. What he meant was, bring them to me. Now I'll say this to you this morning. We ought to teach our youngins about Christ at an early age. And we ought to teach them the things of God and the Word of God and implant those things within them. And I'll say this to you this morning. I've heard that our children are the church of tomorrow. If we don't have our children today, we'll not have a church tomorrow. It's important that we focus in, but Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. You know what I like about our children? And I'll say this about my daughter. She trusts me for everything. Me and her mother, she never questions, Brother Kenny, how the power's going to stay on. She never questions, Brother David, where the next meal's going to come from. She never questions where her clothes is going to come from. She doesn't question what we're going to do tonight. She don't question what we're going to do tomorrow. And I'll say this, she never questions how we're going to get somewhere or how we're going to get home or how long we're going to be somewhere or how long we're going to do this. Something something begins to happen when they become teenagers and they become adolescents. We begin to see a child that will question every motive and I question every move. And you say, preacher, how do you know that? I know when I was a child, I had to know every detail and I had to know how we were going to get somewhere and how we were going to do this. And Brother Don, I worried about things that I never should. And you know what happens is it plays out in our spiritual life. We can never fully trust God because we question everything. Preacher, why am I going through this? Preacher, why am I facing this? And God, why, if you love me, why is this happening to me? And God, why, listen to me, I'm telling you, if we're going to trust God, we've got to trust Him with a childlike faith. Honey, I can tell you, I'm not worried about tomorrow. I'm not worried about the next day. You say, why is that? There's nothing I can do about tomorrow. There's nothing I can do about the next day. But I know the One who holds tomorrow in His hand. And I'll say this to you this morning. We must have a childlike faith in trusting Him. Notice what He says. And the Bible says, and He laid His hands on them and departed thence. And the Bible said, and behold, one come and said unto Him, good Master. He came to Him and He recognized Him. And boy, He wanted to get in good. And I'll say this to you this morning. A kind word will open a conversation. A kind word. Boy, if you look at somebody bitter and ill, you say, well, they didn't talk to me. Well, how'd you look at them? Amen? It's about like preaching on 1 o'clock Sunday. Looks like everybody done drunk lemonade without sugar before they come to church. Amen? Boy, you're ill, you're upset, and you say, well, they don't talk to me, and nobody wants to be my friend. How do you respond to them? This young man started the conversation recognizing Jesus as Master. And as good. He says, good Master. Boy, this gets his attention. He said unto him, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? He says, what thing do I have to do to be saved? What do I have to do to be saved? Jesus then begins to explain to him the law. Why at this moment in time they were under the law. And at this moment in time, Christ had not died on Calvary. And Christ hasn't laid in the grave 3 days. And Christ has yet to ascend to the Father to make intercession for you and I. And so Jesus begins to instruct him on the commandments. And boy, as he goes through these commandments, he says, thou shalt not murder. I want you to notice, he says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. Boy, I guarantee you, the majority of people sitting in this room tonight, this morning, if I said, have you committed murder? The majority would say, no, preacher, I've not. And I could ask some, and some I'd say, have you ever stole anything? Some would say, no. I've never took something that wasn't mine. I've never took anything maliciously and brought it into myself. I'd say, well, that's good. I'd ask you, did you honor your mother and father? And some of you say, oh, preacher, I did everything I could for my mom and dad. And I obeyed what they told me to do. And I did what I could. And I loved them and I respected them. Boy, that's good. And then we'd say, well, what about your neighbor? Did you love them like you did? Well, preacher, you just don't understand what kind of neighbor I've got. They're loud. They're obnoxious. Boy, David's looking back at Melvin. He's wicked, ain't he? And Melvin's staring at David. That's like Anna. Anna tell me, she said, our neighbors already think you're redneck. Calm down a little bit. But bless God, the snow comes. And next thing I know, she says, let's get the four-wheeler out and drag Brooklyn all over the yard. And I'm like, everything you fuss about, you're wanting to do right now. And let's build a snowman and let's do this. And boy, we'd say, you know, preacher, I try to be respectful to my neighbor and I try to be good to them. And boy, that right there, that would say, you know what? Boy, I've kept everything Jesus says, but when we really begin to dive into that, when He says murder, let me ask you something. Have you ever assassinated the character of somebody? I mean, boy, have you ever talked dirty about your neighbor? Maybe it's somebody you don't like. Maybe it's somebody you don't care about. Maybe it's somebody that's done you wrong. Have you ever just went ahead and give them a piece of your mind? Did you murder them? Thou shalt not steal. Preacher, I never took no money. I never took anything like that. I've never robbed anybody. Well, that's good. But what about that pencil you may have borrowed that you never returned? Well, what about that book that you never returned? Or what about that money you might have borrowed from somebody that you never paid back? Boy, isn't that stealing this morning? But what about loving thy neighbors thyself? And boy, you say, well, preacher, I sure love them. And boy, I care about them. What about when they're in need and you look over and you say, I ain't got time to help them? Do you really love them? You see, this morning, if we were being judged according to the law, we would be found guilty. What about when mom and dad died and boy, they read out the will and boy, you had bitterness in your heart because maybe they give so-and-so the land and you didn't get it. Boy, you had anger and bitterness in your heart. You say, preacher, you ought to stop right there. You're stirring up all these things. Listen to me. Honey, I'm glad to tell you this morning, there is none righteous, no, not one. And if we're guilty of one, we're guilty of all. And boy, this rich young man, boy, he said, Lord, and I'm going to paraphrase this so we can move forward. He said, Lord, he said, all these things I've kept since I was a kid. He says, yet, what lackest thou I? He says, what else do I have to do? Boy, I'm going to say this to you this morning. You are not asked the Lord for something if you don't want a response. Mama always told me, and Daddy always told me, said, son, if you pray for patience, God will sure give it to you. Boy, if we ask for those things, we better ask in sincerity of the heart, and we better ask in truthfulness. And Jesus responded back to the rich young man, and he says, go and sell all that thou hast. He says, go and get rid of all your wealth. And he says, give it to the poor. What happened? That rich young man left sorrowful. You say, why is that? Because he got down, I guess you could say this morning, to where the rubber meets the road. And he got down to those things that meant so much to him that he would have to release. Listen to me, I'm going to tell you this. You can never fully trust God until you let everything go in His hands. You say, what do you mean by that? I'm talking about everything you're holding on to. Boy, this flesh, we like to hold on to things, don't we? We like to hold on to valuables or items, and we like to hold on to maybe a picture or something that means something to us. I'll tell you this morning. All the goods this world has to offer, the only good thing about them is they are temporal. They will not last. Do you realize this morning, I say this to you, and I move forward. In 10 years after you're dead, people really ain't going to remember you. I don't mean to offend anybody here, and I don't mean to upset you, but I say this. 5 years after you're dead, people's not really going to remember you. You say, well, preacher, what do you mean? Those who have lost a loved one, boy, they still remember that loved one, but the generalized public and the associations have been forgot about. Boy, we hold our moms and dads dearly, but overall, folks in the church go on. We really don't remember them. But one thing we do remember is whether they were saved or lost. I remember as a child seeing some of those older ones in church passing away. And I couldn't tell you a whole lot about them, but Dad, I remember some of them who had the testimony of whether I was saved or whether they had no testimony at all. I don't remember their personal life, but some that's passed in the ministry, Brother Robert, I didn't know their personal life, but I knew whether they told me they were saved or they were lost. And boy, Jesus nailed it down, and he said, go and sell all that you got. He said, give it to the poor. And boy, the young man left sorrowful. But I want you to notice in verse number 23, Jesus speaks to his disciples. He said, verily I say to you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. You're saying, preacher, if I'm wealthy, I can't go to heaven? Preacher, are you saying that if I got money in the bank, I can't go to heaven? That's not what I'm saying. You say, how do you know that? I want you to notice what he says. He said, and again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Preacher, it's saying a rich man, listen to me, it's talking about your priorities. It's talking about where your trust is at. Do you realize that majority of Americans trust in money? Their hope is in their money. They can buy happiness in their money. We had a discussion at work the other day, and a fellow said, you know, they always said that money can't buy happiness. Oh, you can buy this, or you can buy that, or you can buy that. Boy, those pleasures are for a season. You know, I heard there's two wonderful days of owning a boat. The day you bought it and the day you sold it. I don't know if there's any truth to that because, Brother Paul, I've never bought one and I've never sold one. But do you realize there's only a season, Brother Kenny, when you'll enjoy that boat? Do you realize when you buy a new car, it's only for a season and then it becomes a used car? Do you realize when you buy that new outfit that you're going to wear for Christmas, you'll enjoy it for a season, but then it becomes any other outfit? Do you realize that new television? Boy, you're going to enjoy it for the first few days, but then it becomes any other television. You say, preach, what are you getting at? You continue are in this repetition of buying and buying and buying, but you never have satisfaction. And Jesus is hit where it says, get rid of it. Can I say to you this morning, God has blessed me with every need I have ever desired. He's kept the power on. He's kept food in my belly. He's kept clothes on my back. But He's went above and beyond that. And He's gained me some abundance along the way of some pleasures in this life. But He realized those pleasures simply pass away. And I'm still looking for something. Do you realize that until we fully trust Christ, we truly never experience happiness? We truly never experience love. And boy, out through all this Scripture, boy, there's so much to take in. But there's one part that I got hung up on that I can't get away from, Brother David. And it's in verse 16. The young man comes and says, good master. Jesus' response to him was simply this, why callest thou me good? He says, why are you calling me good? And his response to him was, there's none good but God. I got hung up on this thought some time ago, and I can't help but share it with you this morning. I'm going to give you three things, and we're going to go to the house. Why does good things happen to bad people, and bad things happen to good people? I got hung up on that thought, and ever since Caleb was here, Miss Geraldine, that thought has run through my head. A little man facing leukemia, and can't understand it in a childlike manner. Why in the world would God let a little youngin' like that have leukemia? And I've wrestled that thing and wrestled that thought and wrestled, why would God let good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people? And I'm sure that somewhere along in your life you've had the exact same thought, that you see that one living in sin and it seems like they never face anything bad and it seems like they never face any heartaches and it seems like everything's going perfect for them. But you take a family that's trying to live for the Lord, and it seems like everywhere they turn, it's something negative facing in their life. There's a bad outcome. It seems like nothing good ever happens their way. And I say this to you this morning, what I begin to see is when that young man called out, good master, and Jesus said, there's none good. He says, but God Himself. I find out this morning, the true saying is, why does good things happen to bad people? You realize this morning, I don't care how you look at it. I don't care how you line it up. There is none good sitting in this house this morning. I'm telling you this morning, there's not a one of us, hey, that are good within ourselves. Honey, I'm telling you, we might put it on the weights of scales of this world and we say, well, they do this and they do that. And Brother Todd, they go this far and they've done this. But I tell you this morning, I don't care how good you've been, when you weigh yourself spiritually against God, whether you're a child or whether you're 80 years old, you're all bad. I'm bad. And why does good things happen to bad people? And you say, preacher, that's kind of deep. And preacher, I pay my bills and I pay this and I pay that. Honey, I promise you this morning, if we justly weigh ourselves against the schoolmaster this morning, you'll find out we're all bad. Now, you could agree with me to disagree however you'd like to this morning. You say, well, preacher, there's some good people in this world. There's some folks that's got good intentions. Do you realize that? Right. You know what I found out? You can take somebody who's been faithful for the house of God for unseen so many years. And I'll just use this for an analogy and for a thought. You can take a man who's preached the Word of God. And you can take a man who's been faithful and plowed and studied. But the devil can present him a beautiful woman before him and he'll fall for lust. And boy, we'd say he was good. But, you know what's even worse this morning? Is boy, we'd say the man's chasing the wind around, but there's women chasing men around. You can take a lady who's been faithful to her husband and faithful to her children. You can take a man on a job site that's attractive. Boy, he can begin to whisper in her ear and begin to talk to her and begin to tell her things. And boy, she'll begin to have this lust and desire within her heart. And before you know it, all her good is destroyed because she chased after her sin and lust. You say, well, preacher, why do the children go through these things? And why do they face that? I'll tell you this. It's because God sometimes uses children to teach us adults some things. The whole time, listen to me, the whole time that I've known Caleb and what he went through, I've never heard him fuss. I've never heard him gripe. His mom and dad, they've never heard him complain. He might say he's sick or he didn't feel good, but I never heard him wish it somebody else. And every time he ever come near me, he said, preacher, he said, why do you think God's let me have this going on? Because I said, Caleb, why not? And boy, I struggled with that. And this past week, I began to see something. You see, this morning, Caleb was teaching me something. You say, why is that? Because all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Right? Right? So, what did it help me with? You see, what we didn't know about Caleb was that when he got leukemia, that we was going to get to see Caleb get saved. We were going to get to see Caleb get baptized. We were going to get to see Caleb's family get in church. We were going to see a mom and dad who got involved in spiritual things. We were going to see a family come together praying. And boy, Robert, we still look at it and we say, that's bad. Why not? That's all good. Amen. You see, Caleb never fussed, and now he's been in remission how long? You see, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. So what we think is bad is really for good. You see, when Jacob seen that, he said they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And you see, when we really begin to look at it, we find out when Jesus responds, good master, when he responds to that, he says there's none good. Do you realize this morning we're all bad? So instead of asking why do bad things happen to good people, we find that statement as false because there's none good. The psalmist teaches us in the book of Psalms chapter number 14, there is none good, no, not one. The book of Romans chapter number 3 again clarifies that and says there is none good, no, not one. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I'm looking out a crowd of a bunch of bad people. So we can rule out the statement, bad things don't happen to good people because there's none good. So when saying that, it makes the evidence even greater. Why does good things happen to bad people? Let me ask you something this morning. How many of us deserve to be saved? How many of us deserve a place in heaven? There's none of us. So automatically we'll agree we're all bad. How many of us deserve the love of Christ? We don't. How many of us deserve the blessings that we have? We don't. How many of us deserve what God's done for us? We don't. So in that saying, why does bad people deserve good? You see, this morning, as we came into this, Jesus has clarified and made the evidence true that we are all bad. But yet, we receive good. You say, preacher, how does that happen? I'll tell you how it happens this morning. It is not justified through the weight of the law. If we were to justify ourselves through the weight of the law, we would find ourselves guilty every time. We would find ourselves guilty of hellfire and brimstone. We would find ourselves guilty of damnation that we deserve. Honey, I'm telling you this morning. You say, well, preacher, that child is so innocent and pure, and that child has never offended anybody, yet they're offender of the law. They were conceived in sin. The psalmist David said that. He was in sin in his mother's womb. And you say, what happens? We begin to realize just how bad we are. You see, here's our problem. We want to try to compare God to the world and the world to the world, when in reality, God ought to be our standard. And the world would come and see how guilty we are. You say, well, preacher, now this just ain't my look of sense. I promise you, follow with me for just a few minutes. He said, good master. Jesus responded, he's not good, but the Father. Now, as we see this, Jesus comes down and he begins to teach his disciples. They were confused. As some of you are sitting here this morning, you're confused. You're conflicted. Everything that you've ever thought was true is just being turned upside down. So if we left the statement alone, why does bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people? I want to say this simply this morning. If we use our justification through that, this is only good that bad people is ever going to experience. This is as good as it's going to get for them. If we use our thoughts on this and use what we know, Brother Don, then those bad people who we would say are wicked, who are vile, this is as good as heaven's going to be for them because they're going to spend eternity in hell. So why would bad things happen to good people? Because these things are just temporal. You see, we have an eternity with Jesus. So this is only of our suffering and tribulation if we look at it from that standpoint. But yet this morning, we've done canceled that out. So why would a God in heaven be that good? I begin to think on that and begin to dig into that, Brother David. And why would God, even though I'm bad, love me? Why would he care about me? Why would he fellowship with me? Brother Robert, I got the reading down there and where Jesus began to expound and talked about the rich entering into heaven. And he said it was be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to go into heaven. Now I began to dig into the subject of that. Boy, the first thing we think of is a sewing needle and a camel going through it. But really, that's talking about one of the gates of a city, and the camel had to bow down on its knees. And he had to crawl through that gate on its knees. You realize a camel don't want to do that. It would sometimes take men days of beating that camel to get it down, to get it to humble itself and come down. You see, we're prideful, aren't we? it takes some work of the Holy Ghost working on our heart to get us to a place where we have to bow down. You realize the majority of people, the first time they fall under Holy Ghost conviction, will not move. It will not move. And you realize some people, Brother Bill, you've probably seen this in church for years, you see them under conviction after conviction after conviction, and they'll never move. Why? Because they don't want to bow down. They don't want to humble themselves. But you see, what Jesus was saying was that camel had to get down. And that camel had to crawl through that gate to get into that city. And he said it would be easier for that than a rich man. Why? Because a man who has money thinks he has it all. I'm going to say this to you this morning. We know Donald Trump. We'll say he was one of the most wealthiest men that we know. Do you realize, and I'm going to say this, and I know he's tried to play the Christian role, and I understand that, but a man that calls it 2 Corinthians in the Bible, he don't know a whole lot about spiritual things, does he? I mean, I'm just going to say that. When he calls them 2 Corinthians, not 2 Corinthians, he's not read and studied a whole. Robert says he did that. Robert, like I would tell you a lie right here this morning. I mean, really, Robert? Robert's over here Googling as I'm saying it this morning. But he called him 2 Corinthians. I want to say this to you. Do you realize for him, it's going to take the very work of God for before him will bow down before God? Now, I'm going to say this. He is prideful. He says, look what all I own. Look at what all I've done. For me to fall down before a holy God that I cannot see and bow down before him, you're crazy. You say, why is that? Because money is power. Control is power. In his thought, he's got it. But you say, well, preacher, I've not got a lot. But notice what Jesus said at the end of this scripture. We're going somewhere. But notice what he says. He said in verse number 26, but Jesus beheld them and said, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. He says, in the thought process of men, it does not make sense. In the thought process of our being, it does not make sense. Now, I want to tell you something this morning, and I'm going somewhere. We're in the year 2017. Are we not? In 2009, when I came to pastor Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle, Brother Matthew, it was very pitiful to me. It did not make sense. Now, I'm just going to say something to you. It did not make sense, and I've got some evidence here with me, Miss Maria, and Brother Matthew, and Brother Tim, Miss Holly, to leave the First Baptist, who was doing well. We were growing. We had a full church on Sunday mornings. We had good services. Folks were getting involved. Things were happening after 6 months. I mean, it felt good. It was going good. It did not make sense to me, Dad, to leave that church. And then what really didn't make sense, Brother David, is to go preach at a church of this magnitude that had 10 people. That does not make sense. I've had some preachers say, you're crazy. But I'll never forget Miss Ella May and Brother Paul. They honestly told after they voted me in as pastor, boy, that was a difficult vote with 8 people that morning. It took hours. Brother Bill was actually helping them out, Brother Johnny. And, you know, it did not make sense. What I could not see was that Ryan Suits was going to get saved at the altar at Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle. What I could not see was Ty Benton was going to get saved at Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle. What I could not see was Miss Maria was going to testify in the choir at Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle. What I could not see was Robert Rose was going to get saved in the altar at Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle. What I could not see was all the children that was going to walk the aisle and get saved at Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle. What I could not see was years later a service of testifying and shouting and young people walking the aisles in the fall of 2017 and getting born again. What I could not see was what God was doing. Now you say, what's that mean? You see, What we cannot see is what God's doing on the other end. And you see this morning, though it may seem bad, and though it may seem evil, and though in our eyes it may not see right, I'm glad I serve a holy God, and a just God, and an omnipotent God, and an omnipresent God. Hey, that isn't a bad God, that ain't even having an off day, but I see myself wicked and vile, and a God that's still blessing me with good things, and I don't deserve them.
Amen.
You see, what I don't see is what God's doing on the other end.
That's right.
What I don't see, and looking with Caleb, and I have to use him because he's the one that brought this to me, was that in his leukemia, God was going to load me and Tim Benton up in a Nissan truck on a Saturday morning. Because things looked bleak and things looked grim, and we were going to leave out from Rhonda that morning about 7 o'clock. And we was going to drive all the way to Virginia Beach to the Naval Hospital and go through all that to get on the base, Brother David, and to walk down the aisle and see a little man laying in a bed. And so many people had said, "Preacher, it ain't looking good." And to walk through that glass door and walk by it and see a little blonde-headed youngin look out the window. And boy, a big old smile come over his face. And boy, big old tears come up in his eyes. And didn't even have to make it. Timmy, we didn't even make it to the nurse's station. We just got to walk in. And you say, what happened? When I walked through those doors and I came to comfort somebody and to give somebody strength and to give somebody help, that there was a little feller looking at me. They said, "Preacher, it's going to be all right. God's got this thing under control. I might be a kid, but God's still on the throne and everything's going to be all right."
Amen.
You see, what I seen is bad, God seen is good for me. What I justified, Timmy, as something bad, God has worked on the other end through a grandma or a nana and a papa and through a church in Rhonda that would bring people together in prayers, that would bring people together in worship. So let me say this. Why does God bless bad people with good things? You see, this morning, maybe you've been looking at the situation all wrong. Maybe you think you've been dealt bad. Maybe you think you've been dealt wrong when entirely the Bible teaches us in the book of Psalms that He loadeth me daily with His benefits. You see, this morning, God's never dealt me a bad hand. When I really begin to look at it, God's did all those things to help me. You see, what I didn't understand and what I would think was bad, Miss Maria, when I had to tell y'all why I was leaving down there, God had all this good up here that I was going to miss. When everybody couldn't understand, and boy, I know it broke the heart of the church down there, I had no idea why I was leaving to come to a church with 10 people, Brother Bill. I had no idea. It was because God had all this good that was going to be waiting on me. So here's the question. Why does God give bad people good things? You see, there are some of you this morning that's faced cancer. To you, it was bad, but God meant it for good. Some of you faced issues in your family that we can't understand. And you begin to question God, "Well, why'd you let this happen?" Brother David, there's no doubt in my mind. What was a cold night standing in a parking lot? And I thought, this is crazy. Miss Jody wants this nativity. And it's like 26 degrees and we've been out here and there ain't been a car come through in 30 minutes. And this crazy man with this commanding voice pulled up. And I talked to him a little bit. And then when he came back out, he pulled back over there and he said, "I'm moving in your area in January. And I'm coming to your church." He had no idea I was going to get to meet your brother, who was going to get to be an inspiration to me and tell me how God loves and sings "Jesus Loves Me" and sing the B-I-B-L-E and to show me how simple Christianity is. You see, what I didn't understand and what you didn't understand was going on last year, God was putting you here to bless me. And Joseph was to bless me. You didn't know that. But it was bad. But God meant it for good. So my question is, this morning as Miss Jody comes, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, every bad thing that's ever happened, some of you are thinking about it right now, let me ask you, Have you looked for the good? You know, I can't fully understand, Brother O'Day, why Caleb had what he went through, but what I can see is the good that was given to me. You see, we're none good. But why does God give us good? I'm thankful this morning for grace. I'm thankful this morning for the love. I'm thankful this morning for mercy. And you see, this morning, Jesus said there's none good but God. I want to say this to you this morning. We think of Noah as somebody great. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Folks are moving. We think of people in the Bible as good people. Noah was a man who got drunk, but God did good. Abraham lied about his wife, but God blessed his seed as the stars of heaven. Jacob was a deceiver. Moses killed a man, but he led a nation. Rahab was a harlot, but she took God's men in and gave them a place of safety and let them out, and God spared her family. Samson was a man full of lust and anger. He was full of sin, but he conquered more Philistines in his death than he ever did. David was an adulterer, committed sin with Bathsheba, but he wrote one of the greatest books in the Bible. Paul was one who persecuted the church. He was one who slew the Christians. But God used him to write 13 New Testament books. Peter was one who denied Jesus himself. But yet he was the rock upon the church where the church was built. You see, this morning, why has God been good to me? Heads bowed, eyes closed as we stand over the congregation, over our feet.